an opportunity here. So we'll hear a quick. We will hear a quick ad about that, and then we'll get into our topic. Here we go.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindel and David Sims. Relax, HIPAA help is on the way.
This is Jennifer Baumgartner from Perkins County Health Services in Grant, Nebraska, and you're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I'm David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me is the great and mighty Donna Grindel.
Great and mighty.
Of Cardin.
Not today.
Good morning, Donna. We just finished up the boot camp. So for you and I to even be up this morning. but I will say, it's not near as bad as what Wendy would have to deal with.
No. That's big shout out to Wendy, who joined us from Hawaii. And that was like at 3 a.m. Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Her time.
Yeah, I think she just did that to rub it in.
I do too. I think that.
I think it might have been Alex who said, yeah, it's 3 a.m., but it's 3 a.m. in Hawaii.
I know, right? Got a point, you know, but she agreed, you know, you got a point.
I know. You know,
but we appreciate everyone from, I think we had somebody most time zones accounted for because several people from the West Coast, because this was our replacement for the West Coast, and the folks from the East Coast who were coming. And, you know, it was a good group. It was a lot of fun. There was a lot of diversity, like always. Large groups, small groups, you know, small private practice, you know, the VA, Alex, thanks for coming. And we had the Hippopotamus game, which was a lot of fun. And, you know, too bad the Ferrari didn't show up for Roseanne. But
just keep looking out the window, Roseanne.
But congratulations to everybody for making it through the boot camp. I love Mikhail put on the little Zoom graduation hat as soon as we were done.
I know. That was hilarious.
So all of you folks out there, you know, if we try to call everybody's name out, we'd be here for
we'll
a
miss
while because we'll miss somebody.
We'll miss somebody.
So no insults. We did appreciate, we did recognize George as the founding member of the Donna Grindel fan club and Alex for providing us the Hippopotamus that we get so much fun out of.
Yeah.
And Wendy for being so far away.
I was actually surprised that George didn't take a lot of pot shots at me while he had opportunity.
I know, right?
He does it in email.
I know. I was kind of hoping for it.
Your keyboard.
Well behaved.
I know, George, your keyboard warrior, you. Yeah, but some of the highlights, I remember Cindy's little boy popping in and out of the video several times. And
yeah, it was great. You know, the kids pop in. He would just, his little head would pop up, and as soon as you acknowledge him, he would slide, like just slither out of the chair.
Yep. And we got introduced to the whole prepper mentality that Jessica brought to the table, so that was fun.
All the pets, two ferrets joined us. Apparently, there's more than one ferret at Jeremy's, but ferrets and cats and dogs and
it was a great time, and especially as much as people talk about Zoom fatigue and you know virtual conferences and you know how tough those are to stay engaged and focused. Our group did a fantastic job of really making it feel as close to being in the same room as possible.
Yeah. The only part it's really hard to put people in different rooms and then figure out where they're at.
Yeah. So we did the breakout rooms. That was fun, but it seemed to work. So that was good. Yeah. And the only hiccup we even had was every so often the microphones would drop out, but we had other microphones laying around, so we just snatched another one up and kept going.
Yeah, we'll post a that picture of where you could see like what the folks were seeing, and then David in the background actually speaking. It was kind of cool. But it seems like it went well enough that I think we'll probably do it again. So that's good news, because we got 3 emails asking, when's the next boot camp? I want to sign up.
Yeah. And, you know, one good thing about doing the virtual is you cut the cost of and time of travel and staying at a hotel and meals and all that. So it does end up being a little bit less expensive on the attendees.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, it's probably a lot less expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say, you know, as always, you miss out on the things that come with being face-to-face and having those conversations. But
apparently they were all exchanging email addresses and typing stuff that you and I couldn't see.
I know. There was all kind of conversations happening while we were
doing it was stuff. Happening even though it was virtual, because everybody's like, hey, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
Apparently they, and you would see them chuckling when we weren't saying anything funny. So they were talking to each other.
Yeah.
And Melanie, I got you. I saw that.
Yeah. It was a good time. It was a really good time. I was impressed at how well it all come together.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. So David impressed himself, as we all know, likely.
That's hard to do, you know, cause
but we have to recover, and then we're going to figure out what we'll do. But, you know, we just don't see the point in trying to do it again this year, because of there's so much uncertainty in the healthcare world, particularly.
Yep.
That we need to allow everybody to be prepared. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, at this point, we have no idea what could happen. I mean, if an asteroid landed on you, you'd be going 2020.
Yeah. What more do you expect? I know. I'm still waiting on the zombie apocalypse or something.
Mm-hmm. Something's going to happen.
Yep.
We just go hang out with Jessica, though.
Well, the other thing, too, about 2020, and I'm just going to drop this out there and leave it, there's some other things a-brewing on the back burner right now. Mm-hmm. Just that's all I'll say. There's some other stuff coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
we've got other things for you to join in with us.
Yep.
Participate.
Lots of exciting announcements coming. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just leave it there.
The folks at the boot camp got a preview. They seemed excited about where we're going. So awesome.
Yep. So we should have made them sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, today we are going to be going over a list of top 10 cybersecurity myths you need to stop believing. And
David caught this, and it was Kim Commando list. And I remember being excited hearing the Kim Commando show for the first time on the radio on an AM station, and being like, a woman's doing computers too.
Mm-hmm. It was
awesome. So, you know, it inspired me. Kim Commando's been around for a while. And when he sent me this and said, we don't have time to get ready for a podcast, how about we review this list and add our own little flair to it?
Yeah. So we're going to do that. It's interesting, the list is, because when I, you know, first looked at it, I was like, yeah, I mean, how many top 10 lists about cyber myths have we went through?
And this started out the same, and then it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. When I first saw it, I was like, yeah, same stuff. And then I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. There's some different stuff here. But I like how the article started out. And before we jump into our next little bit, it starts out talking about how on the dark web, you can purchase cybercrime how-to kits.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it goes on to talk about how easy this stuff is. So, you know, don't think for a minute that people that are attacking you are people who know anything about hacking at all. You just go out there and purchase the service, and that's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm. And it does tell you here, if you want to go out and see for yourself, here's how you access the dark web. But it points out, just because you're on the dark web doesn't mean you're anonymous.
Yeah. And I'll say, my advice to you is stay off the dark web.
I know. We don't hang out there.
You could step in a pile of stuff pretty quickly.
and not be able to get out of it.
Yes.
It's like quicksand.
Yep. So you, yeah, you want to stay away from the dark web. That would be my advice to you. But anyway, thanks to our donors that donate to the show. And we do want to allow our advertisers, which happen to be Security First IT and Cardin, an opportunity here. So we'll hear a quick ad about that, and then we'll get into our topic. Here we go. The number of medical practices that think they're HIPAA compliant is pretty staggering. Effective privacy and security are an ongoing process, not a checklist. And that's why at Cardin, they don't just assess your situation and leave you with a report, but they work with you all along the way. Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 or visit them on the web at cardinhq.com. Aren't your patients worth it?
Are you frustrated with your current IT provider? Are you sure you're getting the security and protection you need? Are you putting your patients and your practice at risk? If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, give Security First IT a call to learn more about how they can protect your patients, your practice, and your bottom line. Find them online at securityfirstit.com or call 980-288-5100.
All right, we're back. Before we dive into the topic, though, you do have something to talk about when it comes to the U.S. District Court of San Francisco and Uber.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because we often get the question, and I even had the discussion with somebody during the boot camp about the liability, personal liability for HIPAA privacy and security officers. And we've had that discussion many times.
Yeah.
And we reviewed a couple of years ago where the FTC, a compliance officer, was sent to jail or I don't remember, but the FTC came down hard on them because they signed off on things that they knew were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, that's probably the biggest, if any, directed towards a compliance officer. And I don't know of any directed towards a HIPAA compliance officer.
Yep.
And then we all remember that it came out that Uber had a data breach and they tried to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was going to come out, they announced it as if we're doing the right thing. Anyway, then on Thursday, yesterday or last, I don't know, recently in the last 7 days, because they all run together for me right now, the U.S. District Court in San Francisco alleged that Joe Sullivan, who led Uber's security team for more than 2 years until November 2017, quote, engaged in a scheme to withhold and conceal.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Both the hack and the amount of data that was exposed from the U.S. Federal Trade Commission. Now, those companies are supposed to report to the Federal Trade Commission. And this got turned over, you know, as a problem because they did conceal it. And I'm wondering when, because you and I both know they're being concealed in healthcare.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've heard enough stories. There's not any where I personally know, but
I do.
Yep. Well, there you go. Yeah, you're probably right. I probably do if I sat down and thought about it for a minute, but.
I know more than a couple where it's like, you need to report this. And they're like, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's just like, all we can do is advise. And people are like, no, you have the responsibility to report this. A lot of times I get the question, you know, I'm asking for 3 friends. And I don't know who it is, or I'm under a legal obligation because I get asked a question, you know. So I there's a lot of things that prevent us from doing that. But the net here is that this guy was the security team. And as the head of security, they're coming down on him, the FTC is.
Mm-hmm.
But his attorney points out that from the outset, Mr. Sullivan and his team collaborated closely with legal, communications, and other relevant teams at Uber in accordance with the company's written policies. These policies made clear that Uber's legal department, not Mr. Sullivan or his group, was responsible for deciding whether and to whom the matter should be disclosed. And you and I both know that to be the case. I think they're throwing this guy under the bus. We could be wrong, but I think been thrown under the bus.
Yeah, kind of sounds that way.
You know, or he's not cooperating and this is their push to make him cooperate.
Yeah, definitely more to the story, I'm sure.
Yes, but because this keeps coming up, and I think it will continue to come up, and you know, the FTC has dealt with healthcare entities before over data breaches, and it does happen. They do have jurisdictions to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, make sure everything is in writing, because clearly the company's written policies and procedures, and we, I think, yet again at the boot camp, drilled into everyone the importance of documentation of every action that's being taken.
Yep. We did talk about that.
Well, thank you for admitting you were there, David.
I was, partially.
All right. All right. So I just wanted to bring that up because it's such a frequent conversation. It'll be interesting to see how this pans out, so to speak, we'll say. And now we can get to the 10 security myths, according to the Kim Komando article, the 10 security myths you need to stop believing about your data.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first one is the one we see most often, and I'm glad people put it as number one. And frankly, I'm glad they leave it as number one.
Yeah.
Which is the myth that you don't have anything worth protecting or your data is not valuable. Because honestly, if you don't get this one right, the rest of them don't matter, because you won't understand the value of what you're trying to protect if you believe that. So your information is extremely valuable. And if it's not valuable to target you, it could be valuable to target others.
Indeed.
All right. Number two.
Well, we're done.
Yeah. So, but I often hear people say, you know, I don't have anything to hide and, you know, there's nothing anybody can get from me. They had one person say the best thing they could do would be deposit money in my bank account because there's nothing to take out.
Yeah. And that's what this article points out. You may think because you're broke, no one cares about your data, but that's absolutely the wrong way to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that this was, that it points out all those free social media apps. They're not free.
Oh no, they are collecting your data.
Free is not free.
Yeah. No,
because there's terms and conditions that no one reads. They just blow right by.
Yeah. I remember years ago, somebody saying, how in the world is Facebook able to do all this for free? It's not costing anybody anything. And I'm like, people don't realize they're a data company. They're collecting massive amounts of data and selling it. They that's how they're providing it for free. And then, you know, of course, over the years, we've started seeing more and more companies following other models where the product you're using is free, but on the back end, they're selling other stuff. So it's a genius move, but yes, there are tons
genius.
There are tons of companies collecting your information, and yes, it's highly valuable. All right.
Well, and there is also that point that it makes about you are essentially giving away your information to them.
Yeah.
So when you give that away, you're giving away more than you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other
because you're being sold 3-4 times, and then hackers want to cash in on that as well. So they can, you know, they're selling the same stuff that the hackers are selling.
Yep. And because we're creatures of habit, a lot of times you can tell a lot about people, where they're going to go, when they're going to go. All this information is being put out there. And there's so many apps now that track you. That know where you're going and what you're doing, and all that information is being collected about you. So you're not as unique and sophisticated as you think you are.
Or lack of sophistication.
Yeah. All right. This brings us to number two. And man, this is one of these ones that drives me crazy a lot of times. But the myth is that since you use security software, you're fine. And how, dude, I've been with people that are quote unquote IT people, and I hear them say stuff like, well, as long as you're using such and such antivirus, you should be fine. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That was what that was good advice in what, 2002?
Yeah.
If then.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, people think just because you have security software in place and, you know, it's like you have this big shield between you and the bad guys and there's no possible way they can get through. And, you know, even at the boot camp, one of the attendees is a client of mine and they said, well, we've got security first IT, so we're not worried about anything. You guys are protecting us. I'm like, you better be worried about stuff. I mean, just because we have layers and layers of protection in place doesn't mean it still can't happen to you.
Yeah. And it's there's so many layers and there's things that, you know, security first IT can't manage.
Oh yeah.
You know, they don't, you're not responsible for the security awareness training for the staff.
No. And then, you know, they'll have some medical provider come in and put this new IoT device in place and nobody tells IT about it. And that stuff's hard. It's hard to keep up with. They'll put software on there and then, you know, think that you're patching every piece of software that they decide to put on every system. And that stuff's hard to catch sometimes.
Well, and another thing that the article points out is just because you have antivirus on your device, what about your router?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, people don't realize that little box, they kind of see that as turning on a clock or something, that there's nothing happening there. But that's where all your traffic's going. And if they hack into that, which those things are very vulnerable, then when they hack into that, they have control of all your traffic.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter what's happening on the computer.
Yeah. And I've heard people say, well, if I have a router, like a security router at the edge of my network, then it's protecting everything. So it doesn't even matter if I have security software on my computers because it's protected at the network level. And I'm like, holy cow.
And so we continue in the loop.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it boils down to not understanding the complexities of what's happening when it comes to cybersecurity. And unfortunately, there's a lot of IT folks that don't understand it either, and they don't help things.
Right.
But,
you know, that it goes back to, again, what we talked about frequently this week is there's three different things: compliance, IT, and security. You mm-hmm. need them all, and they are not the same.
Nope. And even within security, we break that down into people, processes, and technology. And mm-hmm. often what I hear people say is, I want to put the technology in place to protect us. And I'm like, okay, that's part of it. What about the rest of it? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you got a three-legged table already, and you're only using one leg. How do you expect it to stand?
There you go. So it is, there are many, many layers, and do it, you know, it's like, throwing up, I need to protect all of my assets and I'm going to create a castle, but the castle is a picket fence.
Yep. And,
you know, with a cute little gate.
Yeah.
And not a lock on it.
Right.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
Yeah. So that brings us to number three, which this is kind of one of the hopeless myths. Which is,
yeah, you hear it a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, with all the data breaches that have occurred and include your data in the breaches, that you have nothing left to protect. You know, that's the myth. And trust me, I've been in, I don't know, no less than half a dozen breaches. I know, if not a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
But
there's so many of them. But yeah, that's what a lot of people say. I just gave up. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. It's all out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
I get that.
Yeah.
You know, we understand that feeling because often we say, I give up.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is you have to understand that just because your information was involved in a data breach, you don't necessarily know what information was part of that and how that was affected and how it impacts you. So, you know, you might have a username and password that was part of the data breach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they know anything else about you. And if you're practicing, you know, proper password hygiene, then that means they really only have the password and username for that one account for that one service. So you still have a ton there you still need to protect.
And if you've got something monitoring those, you know, databases that are posted out on the dark web, you get notifications, go change this password.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's complex and you have all of these layers of security, go change that password.
Yep.
Because until you have lost your identity, you do not understand. There's the identity theft where, you know, they're getting credit cards and all of those things. And then there's actually losing your identity. Mm. All of your history gets taken over and moved to someone else. And this, honest to goodness, does happen. It happened to a friend of mine. And, you know, he don't want to talk about it. I don't blame him. Or we'd interview him.
Yeah. It usually takes years to fix.
I don't know if he's ever going to get it fixed. I mean, literally to the point, he has to get a new social security number.
Wow.
Okay. That alone is not easy to do.
Mm-mm.
And if you think it's hard to cancel medical records, try canceling your social security number.
I bet.
And it's just been, you know, these folks were everywhere being him.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's not somebody that's really laid back about these kind of things either. So it was very terrifying. So anybody that thinks, whatever, you know, I don't care, they can have anything. Until you lose your life, your identity of who you are, and I mean everything is gone. Nothing's attached to you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all attached to them now. And you being able to prove that it's not them, it's you, becomes very, very hard. So when you have to set up that new social security number, you start over with a credit rating. You start over with everything. And some people may be like, all right, let's do that. That other one was a mess anyway. Let's start over from scratch. But it's not as easy as you think. And you know, and it's not a pleasant experience by any means.
Yep. Hope I never have to do that.
No, I never would. So never, ever give up, because it will be very bad.
Yep.
Not just a little bit. It's not, I can deal with a credit card. It is way worse than that.
Mm-hmm. So
don't play. These people don't.
No. All right. That brings us to number four on the list, which is phishing scams are so easy to spot.
I'm just going to let you cover this one.
I'm sure you are.
Because
I'm sure you are. Yeah. So we have a service by which we fish other companies. And so it's a simulated phishing test. And then, of course, if you fail the test, you have to go through, you know, remedial security awareness training or whatever. And so we do this for our clients, but we also do this internally. But internally, we crank it up. I mean, we crank it up high. Like, you know, we have some mercy on our clients. But on ourselves, we really target people internally and try to make it as realistic as we can possibly make it. And so in saying that, after, gosh, I don't know, 3 years of not getting caught by one, I got caught by my own stupid phishing test the other day. And I am positive that my engineer who puts these things together went out and did some homework and made sure that it was as lifelike as it can be.
Well, but that's what other people would do if they were targeting.
That's what they would do. But all the funny thing about it was, well, first of all, it's all the classic mistakes. Like, I'm tired, I'm in a hurry, you know, I'm using a device I don't typically use because I was at the hotel, and so I'm on my Surface Pro versus my desktop. So, you know, that adds a little bit of complexity to it. So all these things are going on at the same time, and it just happens to be, you know, a perfect storm of things. And so that's kind of how it all happened. But anyway, once I clicked on it, you know, I got the indicator that it was possible scam. And I'm like, son of a gun. But then when I went back and looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, look at all these red flags that I missed that I should have caught. And, you know, which goes to say, no, these things aren't always easy to spot. And sometimes even when I look back at it and I go, I should have caught this, it's not that it was super complicated to catch. It's that all the things that make me put my guard down was going on all at the same time. And because of that, I clicked on it. And, you know, these things are not misspellings all over the place anymore. And they're not, you know, the guy from Nigeria, the prince trying to get millions of dollars. I mean, these things are really, really good scams these days. And in fact, you know, a lot of people don't realize that you can spoof email. So if I know an email account that you might be expecting email from or that you do business with, because, you know, sometimes people send out the email addresses of everybody in an email accident.
Well, yeah. Or they hack your business. You know, they get in, one of your business partners falls for a phishing scam where they get control of that email address and take all their contacts and then just spoof it. That happened, you know, to one of our clients. It was actually one of their business partners.
Yeah. So, no, phishing scams aren't easy to spot all the time. Because I'm telling you, if Donna sends me an email, I'm going to assume that it's from her. And if there's a link in there about something, I mean, unless it's something kind of out of the norm, and I don't know that there can be anything coming from Donna out of the norm. I'm probably going to end up clicking on it. And another thing I brought up too at the boot camp that's something that people should watch out for is when you get some spammy email, oftentimes people scroll down to the bottom of that email and they're looking for the unsubscribe button or the unsubscribe link, which is a perfect place to put your malware link.
Indeed.
So watch out for all that stuff.
Oh, so you fell for it because it looked like a LinkedIn request.
Yeah. It just, you know, hey, I want to be on your LinkedIn profile. The person's, you know, I didn't recognize the person's name, but that's not unusual. But the place it said they were from was, you know, my back door. It wasn't like they were from Atlanta or Florida or something like that. No, they were from the town I live in. So,
there you go.
Got me. You got me. That's all I got to say. You got me.
But, you got me.
Sorry, but that kind of leads into myth number 5, which is my friends on social media won't hurt me.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I see hacked Facebook accounts all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get friend requests from people. I'm like, aren't you already on my friends list?
Mm-hmm.
But and it's kind of the same thing as, you know, the email thing. If I got people on social media that's my friends or family, and then all of a sudden I'm getting messages from them, then, you know, I've dropped my guard. I'm not looking for problems because, hey, it's my friend or it's my family member.
Well, yeah, that and, you know, social media is where everybody just assumes they can share the most simple things that, you know, all it takes is one of your friends on social media falling for one of those scams. And then posting it,
mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what was the one? Everybody do this thing that's supporting all the 2020 graduates by posting your, what was it? Posting your senior picture.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how does that do anything to honor 2020 graduates? It makes us all talk about ourselves. But more importantly, now I've given away where I went to high school and when I graduated.
Yeah, not to mention like probably the very nice frontal facial image.
Yes. Perfect frontal face, which is really, they've got enough there that they really could, you know, get your identity pretty close, if not completely steal it. Now, not completely take over, but enough to get what they needed to ruin your credit, that's for sure. And I see those and I'm like, I'm watching all the people do it. And, you know, years ago, I would try to say, please don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, so not only is it that it's your friend, but if they get hacked and this is going to happen, but they're falling for the stuff and then sharing it. So they're inviting the hackers into the group, even if you've secured your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yep. It'll
Don't
happen.
Trust anybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we have the zero trust environments. So need to have a zero trust mindset.
No, people are like, you don't post anything on Facebook anymore. That should be telling all y'all something.
Yeah. I don't give away any more information than I absolutely have to.
And by the way, all y'all is a phrase. It's not redundant.
Yeah, we did find out this morning that people across the pond don't know what holler is.
You'll be in trouble again.
I stay there.
All right.
So number six, you need to stop believing, is that hackers are mysterious, scary figures.
Yeah, and we've mentioned this many times, that everybody envisions these hackers the way they are in the movies with the hoodies and, you know, Mr. Robot kind of looking guys. And really and truly, they're not. You know, I love watching everybody's face in the boot camp when I share the ads that people post. You can be an affiliate for this ransomware gang. And it's like any other affiliate offer.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you all the details, what services they will provide, what you will need to do. And if you are a really good affiliate, you can even increase your share of the profits from the victims.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not that. They're just business people.
Yeah. It is absolutely. People want to start an online business. There you go.
No. And it's not like, why don't these people get a real job? In the country they're in, this may be the best paying job. Mm-hmm. It's literally a job where they go to an office.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not what you think it is.
No.
Not at all. No. In fact, the Uber thing that we mentioned, that was somebody in Florida.
Yeah. You know,
it wasn't somebody in Russia that did it. It was Florida.
Anyway. Yeah, it's true. All right. That brings us to number seven, which is, I only go to mainstream websites, so I don't need any kind of security software. Yeah. So there used to be, honestly, I'll be first to admit it, there was a time when I would be able to say, I don't have to use antivirus because I don't do anything that would require it. And it was, you know, again, back in 2000 or 2002, I had antivirus, but frankly, I was so careful that even if I didn't have antivirus, I wasn't really worried about it. But that's not the case anymore these days.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, you have to have, one is we all need to have an understanding, just like we mentioned before, about how much data these people have on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the mainstream sites, you know, every time that little thing pops up that says, we're collecting cookies about you, and you just hit X because it's in your way.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, now a lot of them, thanks to CCPA, they give you the ability to go see and change the options. And every time I see one, I'm like, oh, let me change the options. Because they do tracking for multiple things in those cookies, and you can turn off the ones that are all about marketing, and they'll put it on there. I love how they say that this is for personalization,
mm-hmm.
to improve the quality of the information you see.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they want to be able to read your mind, and that is true.
Yep.
So think of what they're collecting to be able to do that.
Yep. Well, the other thing, too, that a lot of people don't realize is there's this thing called malvertising.
Oh, yeah.
And so they stick malware inside of ads on legitimate sites. And this has happened to big-time legitimate sites like MSN.com and some other ones. So even if you go, oh, I'll just go to the big sites, that's all I ever do, then you could still have malicious code run on your computer simply by visiting the site or clicking on one of the ads on the site. Because you think it's an ad there on a legitimate site. It must be a legitimate ad, right?
Yeah, they don't realize that all these people do is buy an ad feed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're approving the ads and printing them in the paper like you used to see.
Yeah, that's correct.
No, not at all. They're just getting a feed and putting that feed. Any of us could do it. Just slap that feed on our website. And, you know, that's that pay-per-click kind of stuff. And then you just put a few codes in and ads start flying on your website. You don't have a clue what's coming through there. You're trusting whoever you're buying it from.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's a lot of reasons you can't trust that. You need to be secure when you connect to the internet, period.
That brings us to number 8, which is the myth of, I use complex passwords.
I'm good to go.
Yes. So, but,
yeah. No.
But yeah, I mean, even the long, complicated passwords, not enough. Not enough.
No, that's why we still encourage people to use a password manager and two-factor authentication on top of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's absolutely essential.
Yeah. Well, there's still the myth that people believe that somebody's physically guessing the passwords.
You're right. Yeah.
And I still hear this all the time. Like, you know, how do they guess my password? Or, you know, I can't believe somebody's sitting in a computer and just randomly trying passwords all day long. And I'm like, no, that's not how that works.
No, they're writing a program that takes in millions of passwords and goes, seconds. It takes. Yes, it does. Look, when I'm tired, all computers make noises.
It goes.
It runs through that list in a matter of seconds. So it don't matter what it is. If once that password's out, it's out.
Yeah. But I mean, even if you're using a password generator and all that, you know, they can still try tons of, you know, random passwords and all that. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to absolutely get through your password. But there again, it's kind of like the thing we talked about earlier about having security on your computer. Don't assume just because you're using complex passwords, you're good to go, because they can still get through things even without it. I mean, heck, we even know of times where they get through it, even using two-factor authentication, they still get into your accounts.
Oh, yeah. If they want in, they're going to go a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Well, the thing is, you want to put as many hurdles in their way as possible, as many obstacles as possible. It's like I said at the boot camp, it's almost like you think of it as when the bear's after you, you know, you just want to run faster than the other person. Or, you know, as we saw recently in an ad, don't push the
article.
Person. Yeah, the article. Yeah. Don't push people down and run from the bear.
Yeah, the Parks Department let us all know that if you encounter a bear, please do not push down your friend who runs slower.
No, you push.
We say that all the time.
Yeah, you push the one down and runs faster if you're the slow one.
Just so you know, they recommend moving slowly to the side and making sure you don't trip.
Make sure you don't trip. Yeah, I don't know.
I would think so.
I don't know. I don't know that I'd be thinking about, oh, yes, I need to move to the side. I'd be run. Just run.
The natural instinct of the bear is to go chase you.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
Hmm.
All right. But anyway. Number 9, that's the one that got you.
Yeah. So this one's new, kind of. And it's new in a lot of ways. But the myth is that you know a fake voice when you hear one. And some people are like, why is that even on the myth list? And it's on the myth list because one of the things that's kind of exploding now is the vishing, where you have voice phishing. And so you can have a phone call come in and it be from somebody that you know. Mm-hmm. And people think, well, yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, I know the sound of my boss, or I know the sound of my spouse, or whatever. But there's a technology called deepfake technology now that can replicate your face. It can replicate your voice. I mean, it's pretty crazy. If you do a search, especially on YouTube, for some of these deepfake videos, and look at the ones that are fairly new, because the technology is still new. If you look back a year or two ago, it's like, okay, it's pretty easy to see. But if you look at some of the ones that are really recent, especially some of the ones where they're taking like the, you know, Joe Rogan's voice and making it say whatever they want to say, it's like, dude, you can't tell. You cannot tell it's not that person.
And even it would, you know, it's, hello, this is so-and-so from, you know, ADP. Just wanted to let you know, I'm sending you an email. You should see it. Use this password to open the attached file.
Yeah. And one of the things we always tell people is when you have something like an email or a text message and it's asking you to, you know, buy gift cards or send money, anything that's, you know, financial, we always say, make sure you get some type of voice verification, you know, call the person on the phone or something like that. But imagine you got a phone call from your boss man asking you to do something. You're not going to call him back, probably.
Or boss woman.
Yeah. Boss person.
There you go. Your boss.
I'm looking at my card over here that says boss. Excuse me, my toilet paper.
Yeah, it is. It's toilet paper.
Yeah,
he literally got engraved toilet paper.
I have an engraved roll of toilet paper. It says, happy birthday to a boss who really knows his, and there's a poop emoji on it. All right. So,
there we go.
That's a good. All right. That leads us to our last one, number 10, which is, you know, I'll know when something bad gets in my computer or my device. You know, I'll just know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, all of that software and things that, you know, and you've talked about it. When you go install your security software, how you often find there's already malware out there running and no one knew about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It happens often. It's unfortunately, it's like when we onboard a new client, we're all tense the whole time we're installing our stuff. We're like tense because, like, please don't.
What are we going to find?
Please don't find anything we got to deal with right now. You know, but unfortunately, more times than not, we do find things that, you know, they had antivirus software, they had anti-malware software, they had stuff like that. They had the network security on their routers, and we still find things. And, you know, it just goes to show about the other things. Just because you have them in place doesn't mean that the person knows what they're selling you or how to monitor and manage it. But no, and the other thing too is, I mean, unless you have, you know, ransomware that immediately pops up on your computer, which you and I know that ransomware attacks don't work the way they used to, because now they go in, they stay in for a period of time, and then they kick off the ransomware attack when they're leaving or when they're done.
Oh, yeah. They've been in there, and now they feel like they know the exact time to launch. They've taken all the things they wanted to take, and now they're going to make a little bit more money, maybe a lot more money, by launching that ransomware on the way out the door.
Yeah. One of the stats we look at every year is called dwell time, which is the time that it takes from the time something happens where like a breach is happening to a computer or network, and then the time is discovered is your dwell time. And we look at that stat because it's crazy how long it takes on average for something to be discovered like this. And I don't know what the latest one is, but I think it's several weeks is your average still.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I thought we saw like it was 100 days or something at some point, but
right,
certainly not noticing it immediately.
No.
And, you know, no.
Yeah,
they just think they clicked something wrong or something's happened or.
Well, oftentimes, you know, I hear people say, well, everything's working fine, so I don't have a problem. Really? Yeah. No, just because everything's working fine, you can get on the internet and you can print and all that, that doesn't mean everything's fine.
Yeah. Just think of it like you've been driving your car around all year, and now you're going to take a 3,000-mile road trip. You're going to have it checked out. You're going to get the oil changed. You're going to make sure you put gas in it because it was driving fine.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. It's what happens when you get that complacent. It's what we have to worry about. But I thought this was a great list, and we'll have the link to it in the Kim Komando Show. They have a ton of links to learn more. And I encourage our folks who understand these things, take this as a learning tool, because we have to educate.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you knew all of these and you agreed with us, you need to realize all the people you're supporting probably believe at least some.
Yep.
If not all of these. So use this list to educate one way or another. Mm-hmm. It's going to be needed.
Yeah. Just be concerned. It's amazing how many people just aren't concerned about cybersecurity. They just feel like it's not that big of a deal, or somebody else is doing all the work. No, it's kind of like your health. You know, it's like, be concerned about your health. Nobody else is running around the block so you can get healthier. You got to do
That's a great idea.
I'm going to outsource my health to somebody.
That's right.
Here, you eat good and you run and exercise and all that, and that'll make me feel better.
That's right. I'll be over here doing whatever I want to do.
Exactly. All right. That's our show for today, folks. Thanks for listening. Remember to follow us, share us out on your favorite social media, and you can rate us on our podcasting app. Yes, we have an app for that. But help us spread the word. And as always, remember, for Donna and myself, the HIPAA, it's not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.